Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And welcome into another playoff victory edition of Spits and Suds. I'm Gavin Spittle of 105.3 The Fan. Thank you so much for joining and supporting Spits and Suds. And I am joined by our NHL insider from EP Ringside, from Shap Shots, from D Magazine, the great Sean Shapiro. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing really well, man. I was happy we had a how about the word? I don't know if the word conclusive is right, but it was it's nice to it took the empty netter at the end, but it's nice right. It's occasionally nice to have a game where it's when we're talking about this where you don't feel like you got to rewrite everything and scrap all your notes right away. So it's, so that feels pretty good. It was, it's also, from a playoff hockey perspective, I'm very happy that we at least have one series that will go six games, because like you look around the league right now, every other series, their next game is an elimination game, all the game fives, obviously the Rangers, knocked out Washington yesterday. Tampa got knocked out earlier tonight. Every other series right now is 3-1, and game fives are all elimination games. So I am happy that we are guaranteed at least one game six in the first round. So
yeah. And this was predicted by many that this series would certainly almost go the distance or close to the distance. And after the first two games, people were wondering what's going. It's fascinating when the road team wins both games. It really, really is. Let's get into it. As far as, you know, what's going on, as far as the team, extremely, extremely exciting. I was just pulling up the statistics. Jake Oettinger in the last two games, 65 saves on 69 shots. You know, I know Logan Thompson's playing incredible and made some terrific saves again, once again tonight. Let's give props, Sean, to you, my man. Talking about that left-handed goalie that caught Stars fans, like just that thought. And even I was like, I never thought about that when you threw out there. Is there something you notice about Logan Thompson? And we got so much feedback on that. And then you talked about Wyatt Johnston and how that goal in overtime, if he was a right-handed goalie, he likely could stop that because of the gloves. Instead, it's high blocker. It was so funny. Some Spits and Suds listeners contacted us tonight after the goal and said, high blocker. I was thinking of the podcast.
Yeah.
Because they did go high blocker tonight on two of the goals.
Yeah, it was, thank you to everyone for listening to prove that it's not just Gavin and I just spending this time ourselves. So that's great to hear. And, it was, no, tonight was a, it's funny. The Dadanov one was, that was a very not the exact same buildup. Obviously, Johnston comes in on a little bit more of a rush the other night. Dadanov coming off a little bit more of a cycle on the play, but very similar how the puck crossed the goal line and where it did and everything like that. So glad we could provide something to your entertainment value watching the game, so you could do that.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I thought, withstanding that first 10 minutes, like they say, Vegas certainly brought it. Mm-hmm. Let's start with the early hit by McNabb on Stankoven, and then Jamie Benn with an extremely clean and effective hit as far as moving McNabb off the puck. I thought that was a really good, I don't even want to call it retaliation, Sean. I just thought it was a solid hit, and it kind of sent a message. I don't know if Ben purposely did it. By the way, I thought Jamie Benn was terrific tonight. I thought it was like old school Jamie Benn getting under their skin, but, you know, being around the net, very active. I thought Jamie was really good tonight.
Yeah. I mean, it was retribution for the head. That's the if there's the thankful thing for the Stars is that the puck ended up going to McNabb pretty immediately afterwards, because there could have been a penalty in some capacity in the other way. So very good at it that way. But I thought it was that's the type of play that could have just built everything for Vegas, right? You level the guy. That's a team that's built off that. It's a crowd that's feeding off of it. The building's going wild. It could have been that snowball impact for Vegas that started it. And I know Vegas did score the first goal. I know that. But in general, Ben's hit, the response, the way the Stars just kept playing, to me, that is a perfect example of not letting of dealing with adversity right away, because that's something that could have, in theory, propelled the Golden Knights in a much different way. So that was a huge start to the game for Dallas too. It's the classic, you get kicked in the teeth or whatever the cliche is, right? Like, can you withstand it? And then they did. And it was, and they pushed back and they retaliated. So I thought it was a really good example of how Dallas effectively, they gave it, and then they also were able to react at the same time, and that kind of started there in that first period with that sequence there.
The NHL put out tonight most playoff goals before age 21, active players. Wyatt Johnston moves up to sixth place with 7 goals. Number one, Jordan Staal with 13 goals before age 21. That's impressive. Patrick Kane's on the list, Sidney Crosby, Patrick Laine on the list, Andrei Svechnikov on the list. So, I mean, some great names on the list. I just thought that was kind of fascinating as he just continues the calmness, the poise, the puck seems to find him. Loves how, you know, he's not a big guy, but he loves getting in the dirty area. Love that. Thought he had some really good, effective faceoff draws tonight. In fact, I think the Stars as a whole won some big faceoffs tonight. You know, I mean, we just talk about him every single podcast, Sean, but I mean, it's just, he's so worthy of it.
He's been their best player. That's not a stunning statement for anyone to make. He was their best player. He was completely dominant in game two. He had the type of game tonight. Wyatt Johnston, it's kind of one of those, I was thinking about this before we popped on the air. If the game he had tonight would have been the type of thing you rave about a 20-year-old forward about, you would have been, well, his game tonight. But because of how good he was in game three, it's just another game for him. Like, that's just like, and it's great. Like, that's the thing where it's like he's setting the bar so high and he continues to reset it over and over again. And it's, I mean, there's nothing about the moment that is too big for Johnston. There's nothing about any of this. And he is, I think, a lot. You look at one of the things that Dallas started to find success at tonight, even though some of the goals weren't the prettiest things, it was they started breaking. We've talked about that halo around the Vegas net. He basically Johnson was kind of one of the only guys that got in there in game one and two. And as I think as a team, the Stars have gotten in there more now. And it took the 20-year-old kid kind of leading the charge. And it's impressive to watch. It really is. This isn't normal. That's not supposed to be. The moment is supposed to catch up to you at some point or whatever, right? Like, I was very impressed with Wyatt Johnston tonight again, and as many people are. So,
yeah, absolutely. Another youngster that was impressive tonight. He did take an offensive zone penalty early in the first for high sticking, but Ty Dellandrea scores a goal, even though it went off his shoulder. The fact that he was in position and fought his way into that position, and how about Craig Smith as well? That fourth line playing really well. And someone asked what happens when Foxa comes back. And I mean, I think everyone needs to know Foxa's really good on the draw. I like Radek Fox, and I like Radek Fox on the penalty kill too. So if I have a vote, which I don't, Sean, I think I'm sitting Sam Steele. I don't know how you can sit Ty Dellandrea at this point. The last two games, I think he's just provided some, and Craig Smith. I think they've been really good.
Yeah. I'm not getting ahead of myself on Fox and Marchment right now. That's the thing for me. Like, and I kind of said it the other night, like, I'm a big believer that to win the 16 requisite games, you're going to go 14, 15 forwards deep. You're going to use 8 defensemen. And so I think at some point, you're going to either injury or choice, you'll have to figure it out. But I'm not banking on Fox and Marchment playing game 5. So that's not my worry right now. If game 5 happens and all of a sudden they're both available and everything's clear, then we have that discussion. For me, I'm not overly worried about that right now because I need to see them healthy. I need to see them actually taking warmups. I need to know that they're, before it becomes a worry for me of how we don't upset the apple cart and all that stuff. To me, Dellandrea, one of the great things about Dellandrea is, and Craig Smith does it as well, you can be out for 4 or 5 games and then step in and play the exact same game if you had just played the last 82. And I think that is such a skill that I think Dellandrea really added to his repertoire this year. Because remember last year, he played all 82 regular season games and was effectively kind of shelved in the playoffs, and he wasn't this type of guy in the playoffs last year. He kind of was the last two games he's been that guy. And if you can get that in 10:52 out of just 10 minutes and 52 seconds of ice time from your fourth line, like, they won their matchup at the Stolen line, they scored the goal. I love the way that he only had the one shot tonight technically, but like, I love the way Craig Smith always has a shooter's mentality on the wing, even no matter they bring that element. Honestly, and I'm half joking when I say this, but if you're only going to play your sixth defenseman 145, just dress 13 forwards.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I'm half joking, half serious. Like, if you're going to play, what is giving a minute 45 to one defenseman do when you can, like, no team ever does 13 forwards, 5 defensemen.
That's really puzzling.
But it's like, if you're going to do that, like, it's what's the point, right? It's just, so why not do that? Just if we're going to think outside the box and we're going to effectively only play, you're only going to effectively play 5 defensemen anyway, why not bring in a 13th forward? I mean, tonight, you know what? Maverick Bork could have played those 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Maverick Bork could have played those 3 minutes and could have been in there. Like,
it is puzzling. And I think we can agree that at the end of this game, this team was gassed.
Yes.
It was like, you know, it was like Rick Bonus flashback or Montgomery flashback, like going into kind of a shell.
This team went into the third period And for better or worse, they were playing Rick Bonus hockey to the end,
yeah.
end of the night. It was either they were either going to win this game 3-2 or they were going to lose. They yeah. weren't. That was the reality. And it worked this time. It worked. It's not a formula you want to get into all the time, clearly.
Right.
And it worked this time. And I think a credit to Jake Oettinger in the third period tonight. He was Jake Oettinger deserves some heat for this series being tied because you go back to game one, right? And he makes a save here or there, and maybe Dallas is up 3-1. Who knows?
Yeah.
But tonight I thought he was really good. I thought the way he played in the third, he was obviously overshadowed by Thompson in game three, but he's been really good since the series has gone to Vegas.
Yeah.
And your watch, and it was, I don't know if it's fatigue. I don't know if it's mentality. I'm not sure what it is, but I would have just in the third period, I just wanted to see Dallas still trying to do something offensively. Absolutely. Like there was a 10-minute stretch where like they scored on their 25th shot of the game, right? The Dellandrea one, which was effectively Smith shooting the puck off Dellandrea and into the net. There was the 26th shot of the game was 140-foot dump in from Tanev that technically counts as a shot. So technically they didn't go that long without a shot, but you got to go a full 10 minutes between the Dellandrea goal, 10 minutes of game time between the Dellandrea goal and the faceoff win draw where Pavelski wins it, and then Hintz gets a little shovel play on net. That's like 10 minutes without a 10 minute. You can't go 10 minutes of a playoff game without trying to play offense. That is not a winning way to play. But it worked. I mean, tonight worked. You get by. It's a 2-2 series. It's a 3 going home. I picked Den 6 to before this series started, and I still feel good about that. Like, that's something where I feel like there's a lot of other things that I saw from this game. The third period was ugly, but there's a lot of other things from this game where you're like, okay, I see why this team is a cup contender in the first 40 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. Heck of a block by Roope Hintz.
From a Dallas perspective, Hintz needs to be better. Like,
yes.
I think that's the, to me, that is the, you're getting on the flight back to Dallas tonight after the game. That to me is the, I don't know if a coach says it, I don't know if someone else says it, but it's somewhat like, it's something where it's like, how do we use that sequence to get the normal Roope Hintz going? How do we, because he has not been the impact player you've needed through four games. No.
Joe Pavelski as well would be nice.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I think Matt Duchene's active, but at the same
time, he was a lot better tonight. He was a lot better tonight. Now it's a small sample size because it's only his first year with Dallas, but his best playoff game as a star. I thought he was a lot better tonight. I don't have as many qualms with him after tonight. It's to me, the big one is Hintz. Hintz is the big one because he's the bona fide game breaker. He's not Eichel, but
right.
You see what Jack Eichel is doing for that team. And to me, I need to see something like that from Roope Hintz in the way Roope Hintz does that.
Yeah. I know I took a step back tonight and said, I want to talk about this on the podcast just to mention it in that. I think, you know, MacKinnon, McDavid, players like that, Draisaitl, you know, you have these names across the league, and Jack Eichel's a special player.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, I mean, I think because of the system maybe, and because it's more of a team with Vegas, you know, might not get the mentions. There's been injuries over the years and everything. He is deadly on breakouts. I mean, he is just a great point guard, you know, for that.
Yeah.
Knows where to go in space. That first goal was tremendous. I know, you know, people could say it was a breakdown as far as not, you know, covering him, but he found space, and that you know, certain players and the great ones find the space. That being said, is that a concern to you as far as stopping those Vegas breakouts?
I wasn't as concerned about the Vegas breakout. It was more so I didn't like the amount of odd man rushes that they gave.
Yeah,
the way they developed. Like, it's the, I think the like, it's not like Vegas was breaking the puck out better than normal or anything like that for me. To me, it was the constant image of the 3-on-2 coming in, the 3-on-2 coming into the zone, the pass made to either winger or the center person coming down the left side, typically the defenseman going to them, and then the Stars just kind of losing everything. Like, that to me was my bigger concern of the rush defense was, like, let's look at like the first goal, for example, the Amadio goal. That's Ahmad. So they enter the zone, they're coming in. Amadio makes the pass and starts heading to the net. Both Stars defensemen kind of go for like the pass, the block the pass or block the shot. Neither of them go with Amadio. And that's one of those where I know Lindell is backing up and Amadio is ahead of steam and everything like that, but just anything to get a little stick check, anything to actually box out or even attempt to box out a little bit to try to disrupt how things go. That's my big tactical change from a Dallas perspective. You have to defend these rushes better. You're giving up. It's way too much of like, it's, you're watching a lot of the times it's Eichel leading the rush and you're like, oh man, how are they going to score this time? Like, that is, it's the rush defense. And it's kind of funny, like tonight, right? Like, Dallas gets their goals from the dirty areas, the cycle area, the around the net area, what we know is Vegas's quote unquote calling card. And Vegas scores on something that used to be quote unquote Dallas Stars hockey on the rush and everything like that. So it's playoff series do that for you. I mean, let's also, like, the other thing that this series is, the other thing that's been wild about this series to me. And this is a great energy point where we were talking about. So look at look at the goals tonight. Michael Amadio, this was his first game of the series. Amadio was effectively replaced by Anthony Mantha when Vegas traded for Mantha, and he kind of was descaled in the lineup. And then once the playoffs started and Mark Stone was cleared and everything like that, he came out of the lineup and he comes in and he scores in his first game back in tonight. He was fresh. He looked pretty good, actually. Smith, Delandria didn't play games 1 and 2, looked pretty fresh. It is a living, breathing example of when you have two teams that are this good and they are this close, sometimes it can just be the energy management and the freshness that provide that spark one way or the other. Like, And that to me is my big concern as I go forward with the Stars, right? Not big concern, but like, I don't want to talk about Nils Lundqvist, but it's a five defenseman problem. Because like, I don't want to get into the conversation. We talked about it the other night. Like, it's, I don't want to get into the whether, oh, Nils Lundqvist is deserving of this or that or whatever, because that's a conversation that gets us nowhere, because we've seen what Pete DeBoer and his staff feel about Nils Lundqvist. To me, it is the Miro Heiskanen played 28-30 tonight. Thomas Harley played 22-45. Chris Tanev 21-28. Esa Lindell 21. Ryan Suter 18-39. In theory, when Jani Hakkapa is healthy, let's assume him and Suter are going to play like 18 minutes together. Then all of a sudden things start to get a little bit. But until then, until Hakkapa is healthy, right now you're in a spot where you get a penalty. You get like, I don't know if you, like, before the game, Tanev took the puck off his face in warm-up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And let me be clear on one thing. I know players want to think they look cool. I am always baffled that guys don't take warmups without helmets. Like I'm always baffled about it. I tweeted this out because I know this story, but you will watch the Florida Panthers for a long time this postseason. Panthers are obviously dispatched Tampa. Panthers GM Bill Zito has told me before that one of his team rules is every player must wear helmets for warmups. That is a team rule for the Panthers because as Bill Zito told me, and I'm slightly paraphrasing, but basically as he told me, I can't call my owner and say we've lost Alexander Barkov because he took a puck to the head in warmups. Right. And so from a Dallas perspective, I know it's like funny. Like it was a funny, like, oh, he's a hockey player.
But he got patched up.
Exactly. Like they're like, oh, he's a hockey player. But like, what if that puck hits Tanev in the eye? What if that puck does anything else? Like this is like, I it's kind of a laugh. I don't want to say laughable, but to me, it's like, that's one of those things where, and it's even more potentially problematic for Dallas too. Cause what if Tanev gets hurt and all of a sudden now are you playing four defensemen? Cause really, if you're not going to trust. So from the Stars in the war of attrition that it takes, maybe you got Vegas at the right time. And I think they did get Vegas at the right time where I think this usage is not going to stop them from winning or losing this series. I do think this usage and Yanni Hakanpaa's health are way more important than people realize for the long-term run of what the minutes and the wear and tear on all of these defensemen, because it is Vegas is taking a chunk out of these guys. It's just natural. Yeah. That's what Vegas does. And you're not even giving another guy a chance to take some of the minutes, to have some of the chunk taken out of him. It's called play Derek Pouliot. Like play Derek Pouliot in game five. I don't care.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like
it's playing for eight minutes.
Yeah. Like it's still better than this. So.
Yeah. Yeah. You talked about flipping the script. One of the other things was Stars 24 block shots to Vegas's 14. So
yeah,
Vegas is known for blocking shots, and Stars did a really nice job as far as that, especially in the third period. For as much as they kind of closed up shop and was just flipping it out of the zone, they did, you know, do a pretty good job as far as scrambling and limiting the opportunities. And when Vegas did have opportunities, Jake Ottinger certainly came up big. The barn will certainly be rocking on Wednesday night. And, you know, this is going to be a good one. Interested to see any adjustments from either team, interested to see Vegas's adjustments after two games, which they lost in their house, as far as what Bruce Cassidy might throw at the Stars Wednesday night.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see which way they go on a couple of things, because Vegas is notably their spark setting fourth line hasn't really been that the last two games. It's the Howden, Carrier, Kolesar line, right? Like it hasn't been that the last two games. And I'm not sure if they change on that front. The thing that is happening to Vegas in front of our eyes, and obviously this is a Stars-centered podcast, so we've been talking a lot about the Stars, but one of the things that has been happening to Vegas that probably should be discussed a bit more is Mark Stone and Thomas Hertl aren't working together. And that's another thing where it's like they were both on the ice for those first two goals on the power play in game one. And it really was like, it kind of like wet the appetite of like Stone and Hertl together. Like, oh my God, look what they can do. They had these goals right away, but those are power play tip goals. And that's about all they've done. Like this is a Vegas team that we talked about going into the series. I think you and I talked about it where it's a great team on paper. But it's not a video game where you just get to plug in chemistry right away. And this is one of the things where like people talk about, you want to talk about Vegas and the LTIR usage and all of that stuff. We we are actively seeing the drawback of that. You're having a team that never played together before this series, and they have to get everything together before rather quickly, and they're one of their top lines is not doing it. It'll be interesting to see where Vegas goes with and how they juggle the lines, how they do things. Like, because right now, Gavin, like, I look at Vegas at 5-on-5, and to me, unless Jack Eichel is on the ice, they're not doing anything at even strength.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, they're a special teams merchant with Jack Eichel driving everything at 5-on-5. And Jack Eichel's a hell of a player, and he's doing it. But it is a – this is not the – this Vegas, and the other thing about this Vegas team that has been interesting to me as well, I've been surprised how the Petrangelos, the McNabs, the White Clouds, the Martinezes, I've been surprised at how much they have not – been able to physically put their will on the Stankovens and the Johnstons and the Delandrias of the world and the Steels of the world, right? Like, obviously there was the big hit that we will all see the highlight for on Stankoven, but that's about it. Like, last two games, the smaller Stars players with energy and the young guys, like, they've been running through the trees of the big Vegas defense, and it hasn't been controlled the way that everyone kind of like that did happen in game two, but it hasn't happened the last two games. So it'll be interesting to see.
One thing I was thinking of, and I don't necessarily think you're promoting him for playing well, but maybe you switch up Marchessault and Stone. In other words, Marchessault goes down to the second line and plays with Hurdle. And Stone goes up and plays with Eichel and Barbashev. Yeah. Now you're slower, and that's part of the issue, but maybe it does get Stone going.
I don't know. To me, it's if you're putting Stone with Eichel. I don't know. The issue to me is I think and Marcius is a hell of a player. I think he's a great finisher, but one of my issues with Marcius Soho winning the Conn Smythe last year was everything he did was driven by Eichel. And so I think it's from a Vegas perspective, it's the like damned if you do, damned if you don't part, where are you going to take apart thing that's working at a risk of doing that? I mean, the Stars have their own problem where their top line is not going. Like, I think Jason Robertson is better than people realize right now. I think Jason Robertson has been better than people realize, but we talked about Hintz and Pavelski, and it's the kind of the sad reality of sports is I think Hintz is still has it. I think it's the other thing we're seeing. I don't want to write him off or anything like that, but like, I think we're at the spot where we're seeing Father Time has finally caught up to Joe Pavelski. And I think that is the reality. And I know there was I wonder aloud, and I want to be clear on something, that I'm not reporting this. I haven't talked to Joe Pavelski about this. I'm not even pretending to say like I know any of this, but I just wonder aloud, because with his age, there's no contract signed for next year, and Joe Pavelski I always felt was that guy who, when he went out, he was never going to be the one that announced it before the season because he didn't want the retirement door. He just wanted to continue to be the consummate pro. And so I wonder if every game we're watching right now, we're seeing the last run of Joe Pavelski in the NHL. I'm going to be very clear before someone goes and aggregates this. I am not reporting that. I am not hearing that. This is me looking at the reality of someone's body who's about to be 40. There's no contract for next year. And it's just, I can see with my eyes what's happening on the ice.
Well, I mean, and it was a good reminder tonight with Tampa being eliminated and the eyes on Steven Stamkos and talking after the game, and John Cooper talking after the game, as Steven Stamkos doesn't have a contract. And it sounds almost surreal that Steven Stamkos could be in another sweater next year. Mm-hmm. You know, so we'll see of that development. I personally was surprised that Tampa didn't take more than one game, but it really does show the force that is the Florida Panthers. It was pretty interesting. And, you know, this series is fascinating because you're right. I think you're seeing the Stars play a little bit of Vegas style, very effective. And that's kind of fascinating. The other thing that I did want to point out is one of my big points was, you know, stay out of the box and or eliminate the 4-on-4 if you can, the matching penalties. And while more penalties were called tonight, this series has shown that the referees are really keeping the whistles within, unless it's a blatant high stick. But Stars 1-for-3 on the power play, Vegas 0-for-2, and no 4-on-4. So that was pretty good, because that, to me, allows Vegas a little bit more freedom to move.
Yeah, I mean, I want to double check one thing real quick as we're going through all of this, because it's been the series with the least amount of penalties of any of them. And obviously I watch a ton of playoff hockey, so I want to double check one thing as we're going through this, Kevin. It was Peter McDougal. I'm checking as we're speaking, people, since this is a media audio outlet, I need to narrate what I'm doing. I'm checking to see which I'm checking the officials crew for each of the games to see which ones were the same.
While you do that, I'll start with the Twitter questions.
Yeah.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben and Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef, and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.